Welcome to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, a program provided by Living Stream Ministry and featuring the ministry of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee. Witness Lee, a servant of the Lord for over 7 decades on 5 continents, culminated his ministry with a 21-year, book-by-book exposition of the entire Bible, which he called a life study. And we're delighted to bring you short portions of this spoken ministry on today's broadcast. Now, let's join today's life study.
Surprisingly, the Bible is almost silent on the subject, on how the meetings of the church should be conducted, except from one particular portion in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, especially verses 26 through 40. And even though the section has 15 verses, it is really just one verse that shows us the basic principle for how the meetings, the gatherings of the believers should be carried on. Listen to 1 Corinthians 14:26. What then, brothers? Whenever you come together, each one has a psalm, has a teaching, has a revelation, has a tongue, has an interpretation. Let all things be done for building up. Bob Danker has joined us, our fellowship today, on essentially, I guess we could say, Bob, though we hate to make it so mechanical sounding, how to meet, in a sense, isn't it?
That's right, Chris. As you pointed out, it is remarkable that although the New Testament speaks so much concerning the church, it doesn't speak very much about the way Christians should behave when they come together for a meeting.
Yeah.
But what we do have in these verses, which we will touch in this broadcast, are very enlightening, and they show us the real principle that we all need to follow concerning the church meetings. We should not follow our traditions. We should not follow our human concepts. We should really follow the principle that's set forth clearly here in 1 Corinthians 14:26.
And I think the word principle is the key word. It's not a manual as such. It's not detailed instructions, do this for this long and have this ones do this. We just don't see any of that here. What we are given, as you just said, in this verse particularly, is a principle. And that will be a real focus, I think, of the whole program today, particularly of this first section, as we see Witness Lee opening up verse 26 and applying this principle to the meetings, to the gatherings of the church. And as you said, what has supplanted this principle has been tradition for all these many years, right?
That's right, Chris. Somehow man has substituted his own tradition, his own thought for God's principle, for God's way. And of course, the result of that is not the building up of the church, which is God's goal.
Okay, let me once again, for those who may have missed it because it's a short verse, and it gives us the principle for the meetings of the New Testament church. Verse 26 in 1 Corinthians 14. What then, brothers, whenever you come together, each one has. We'll leave it there. Here's Witness Lee.
Now we come to the last part of chapter 14. This portion, verses 26 through 40. May be considered the unique word in the New Testament to tell us how to meet and how to function in the meetings. Verse 26. What is it then, brothers? Whenever you come together, that means you come to meet, each one has a song, has a teaching, has a revelation, has a tongue, has an interpretation. 5 times he uses the word has. This word translated has in Greek is a crucial word. It is an important word. Paul says, when you come to meet, you all should have something. Listen. He doesn't use the word shall have, will have, or you should have. No, no. He used the verb just in the present tense to denote the fact. And this means that when we come together to meet, we must have something. You have something, I have something, right? Paul says, Each one has. Not only certain ones, not only few ones, not only some ones. No. He says, each one has. This is a strong word.
Well, Bob, as we were talking a few minutes ago at the beginning here, comparing what we see in 1 Corinthians 14:26 to the traditional pattern that has, I think, absorbed almost Christianity 100%. We have in 1 Corinthians verse 26, this principle of each one having something, yet in tradition, in the traditional pattern, as I said, this has been supplanted totally, hasn't it?
Yes, it has, Chris. What we see in a traditional Christian meeting is a congregation sitting in chairs or pews or whatever, and they are mainly silent, except maybe they'll sing a few songs, but they mainly focus all their attention on a few people who come to the gathering having prepared something.
Right.
Either a choir having practiced for hours to sing a hymn or a song, and then a pastor speaks from the Bible. Of course, he had to prepare
right
before he came.
Mm-hmm.
The rest did not prepare. They simply came, and they received from these few. This is the pattern that we see almost everywhere in today's Christian circles. But this is not the pattern that Paul is presenting to us here in 1 Corinthians 14:26. This word, each one has, that means every attendant in the Christian meeting should have something, either a psalm, a hymn, spiritual song, some word to speak, either from the Bible or concerning their experience of Christ, something that they can minister to the other attendants. And there's no exception here. This word, each one, is very clear. Every attendant in a Christian meeting has a responsibility and even has the capacity to bring something that he himself has prepared beforehand.
In Christian circles, Bob, there is, in recent years, you hear this phrase more frequently now, a body ministry. And it does, I think, refer to an effort to try to bring this principle back to life and give it some place in the gatherings of the believers. But I think even in most cases, that's just a meeting here or there, or maybe a meeting during the week for those who are especially motivated. But what then, brothers, Paul says, whenever you come together, each one has. So this is a universal principle, isn't it?
That's right. It's a whenever principle. It's every time. Without exception, each one has. This is, again, speaking about the meeting of the church. Of course, there are special meetings for the ministry of the Word of God.
That's right.
When someone ministers from the Word to the attendants, this is not a church meeting. This is a ministry meeting. But Paul here is talking about the church meeting, the meeting of the church, where the believers gather together to have a mutual enjoyment of Christ with one another and with God for their mutual building up.
Well, typically at this point in the program, we'd go back to Witness Lee. Rather than that, today in this part of the message, what he basically did was point the attendance in this particular conference meeting to footnote that exists in the recovery version on this verse we just read. Verse 26, 1 Corinthians 14. I have the footnote, Bob. It's a couple of minutes long. I'm just going to read it and then open it up to you for your comment. It's a marvelous footnote. It does take, I think, a little bit of development for those who aren't familiar with what is alluded to here. All right, here's the footnote again. Footnote 26:1 in chapter 14 of 1 Corinthians. This is like the Feast of Tabernacles in ancient times. The children of Israel brought the produce of the good land, which they had reaped from their labor on the land, to the feast, and offered it to the Lord for his enjoyment and for their mutual participation in fellowship with the Lord and with one another. We must labor on Christ, our good land, that we may reap some produce of his riches to bring to the church meeting and offer. Thus the meeting will be an exhibition of Christ in his riches and will be a mutual enjoyment of Christ, shared by all the attendants before God and with God, for the building up of the saints and the church. According to the stress and emphasis of this epistle, all five items listed in this verse should focus on Christ as God's center for our portion and the church as God's goal for our aim. The psalm should be the praise to God for giving Christ as wisdom and power to us for our daily life and church life. The teaching from a teacher and the revelation from a prophet should teach and minister Christ and the church, which is the body of Christ, to people. A tongue and its interpretation also should have Christ and the church as their center and content. Any stress on things other than Christ and the church will bring confusion to the church and distract it from the central lane of God's New Testament economy, making it like the church in Corinth. Tremendous, isn't it?
A tremendous word. Actually, what you read here was two paragraphs, and both of these paragraphs is worth $1 million, I would say. You know, the first paragraph you read likens the Christian meeting to the Feast of Tabernacles in the Old Testament. And if we go back to the Old Testament and we read the description of those feasts, it's very clear that after God brought the people of Israel into the good land and gave each of them a portion of that land, they all were to labor on that land and work that land, so to speak, and reap a harvest from the produce of that land. And then God instructed them a number of times a year that they all had to come together and bring with them the result of their labor on the land and their reaping of their harvest. And there they would have a feast in which they would enjoy these riches among themselves and with God. God was there. God wanted to be with his people and share in the enjoyment. What a picture this is. And this is the picture of what a Christian meeting should be.
Looking at this Old Testament picture, the Feast of Tabernacles, I enjoyed very much your description of it. You see the children of Israel, each one in the same principle as Paul is presenting in chapter 14, each one bringing something to offer both to God and to the other saints there. And so all of our meetings should be a kind of a mutual feast where we're enjoying each one presenting, offering, sharing, ministering, and God having the ultimate satisfaction.
That's right, Chris. And that brings me a little bit to the second paragraph that you read. And that is, Brotherly gave us such a helpful word here, showing us that the center of everything, the content of our speaking, of our singing, should be Christ and his body, the church. We shouldn't speak about other things. We should just speak to one another the Christ whom we have enjoyed, experienced, or apprehended, seen in the Word by revelation.
Right.
And also we should speak concerning the church as the body of Christ. If we speak concerning other things, then confusion will come in, as we see the case was there in the church in Corinth. So what should we speak? What should we sing in our meetings? We should sing and speak Christ and the church, nothing else. But in order to do that, we have to be faithful to labor, to experience Christ in our daily living, and to read the Word and see the revelation concerning Christ and the church in the Word, and then bring this to the meeting with us.
Well, Bob, let's move on to our final segment today. This also will be a somewhat of a departure from the norm today. We have kind of a different program and format. We will go back to Witness Lee. Then we have something a bit unique and special, we think, because when we read verse 26, we have this phrase, each one has a psalm, and that really points us to the place that songs, hymns, psalms have in the Christian gathering. And Witness Lee has a particular burden on that point in this coming portion. I picked up a verse from chapter 5 of Ephesians that I felt fit this portion quite well. He won't refer to it, but I do think it's fitting. Verse 19 says, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and psalming with your heart to the Lord. Always should be a part of the Christian gathering. Here's Witness Lee.
Whenever you come together, each one has a psalm. In today's singing of the Bible verses, the strange thing is the Bible verses, mostly of the verses from the Old Testament. No mystery of God, which is Christ. No mystery of Christ, which is the church. I never heard of singing on Ephesians chapter 1. Have you heard?
No.
We need a lot of things on these verses. My, you know, recently we are charged to take care of Paul's 8 books, Romans, the 2 Corinthians, the 4 books of the heart, plus Hebrews. I sure encourage all who can make melodies to make tunes on all these 8 books. Let us sing all these 8 books. All the wonderful supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Oh, how to magnify Christ in my body, and how to live Him, and how to be found in Him, and how to pursue Him, and how to have the excellency of the knowledge of Christ. How about this? Oh, we need songs after songs on all the things. We need songs praising God, not only for His creation, not only for His dispensations in dealing with people, but mainly for His New Testament economy.
Amen.
Oh, how we need a song on the process triune God.
Amen.
My point in this, we need to have psalms, not the Old Testament psalms. Those psalmists, they haven't got the revelation. Paul said clearly concerning the church, it was a mystery to them. It was hidden from them. But today, is it still hidden?
No.
No. The Apostle Paul has written 14 epistles to us.
Amen.
Why wouldn't we sing them? We need to have the psalms, the New Testament psalms, the psalms of the New Testament economy.
Bob, hard to miss his burden there. You know, as Paul points out, as he said, the matter of the church was a hidden item. And so no wonder that the Old Testament psalmists didn't sing about it, because it had been hidden in that dispensation. But to us, it's open, it's unveiled. So why shouldn't these items of the New Testament economy be really the emphasis and the focus of our hymns today?
That's right. This is something that is very hard to find today among Christians. And as Witness Lee pointed out, it is a great need. If we could have songs on God's New Testament economy, highlighting the riches of Christ and the different aspects of the church, this would uplift our Christian meetings very, very much.
Well, Bob, we promised our listeners a unique treat here, and that is we're going to play a hymn right now, or at least a couple of stanzas from a hymn. And as they're listening in the background, they're hearing the introduction to a hymn written by Witness Lee, taken from 2 of these 8 books of Paul that he was just talking about. And as we listen to this first stanza after we're done with it, Bob, you and I will come back and talk about it just for a moment, but I think our listeners should enjoy this. This is called Oh, What a Life. Well, Bob, what a wonderful, rich hymn. We'll talk a little bit about the recording of this in a moment, but let's pick this up right now. We just listened to the first verse, the first stanza of this hymn called Oh, What a Life, and it really is drawn right out of the New Testament economy, isn't it?
That's right. This hymn, this first verse that we listened to, actually is taken directly from Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. This is a hymn on the experience of Christ. There in that verse, in Galatians 2, Paul said, I am crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but it is Christ who lives in me. And this is a marvelous verse on the experience of Christ in God's New Testament economy. And this first stanza that we just listened to, almost word for word, although not exactly, but still it was taken definitely from that verse. This is an example of singing hymns that are drawn directly from some aspect in the New Testament economy of God.
Well, if our listeners were to hear the second verse of this hymn, it continues on in Galatians, talking about Christ being formed in us, also from Galatians, as you said. Now, we're going to pick it up, and our listeners will be hearing the introduction to verse 3. And this verse comes from, as we'll see in a moment, Philippians. Well, once again, Bob, as the music trails off there, we'll break in. Short amount of time left. But we really have some riches here right out of Philippians, don't we?
That's right. The stanza of this hymn was taken directly from Philippians chapter 1 and verse 20, where Paul, as a prisoner in a Roman prison, was writing to the Philippian believers concerning the bountiful supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ that he was enjoying and his earnest expectation and his hope that in him Christ would be magnified. That means made to appear great in the eyes of others.
Wow.
Whether through life or through death.
Yeah.
So you can see in this hymn written by Witness Lee, you can see the words of the verse here, Philippians 1:20, are directly applied to the lyrics. And this is a very rich hymn with this third verse taken directly from the Word of God.
Bob, I think in the short amount of time we have left, rather than talk about the printed material that we have that supplements these life study programs, why don't we talk about these hymns that we've just been listening to? As you mentioned, this one was written by Witness Lee. It is on an album, a CD. It's available CD and called Oh, What a Life. So this is the title track to this CD album. But these are hymns primarily composed by Watchman Nee and Witness Lee. But each volume has classic Christian hymns of the faith from the ages and some other writers, Mary McDonough, A.B. Simpson, who was a marvelous hymn writer, Lady Powers Court, Bertha Fennell, and Margaret Barber, Fanny Crosby, some others. John Newton is on here, of course, many famous Christian hymn writers. But featuring the hymns of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee, and I think that our listeners will find that this characteristic of incorporating the divine revelation, of especially of these New Testament crucial items, really in the heart and fabric of every line of these rich hymns.
That's right. I feel these hymns will bring us into God's New Testament economy. One by one, as we listen to them, we are ushered into the realization of how rich Christ is to us and how we can experience him as everything, as our life and our everything, and that the issue of this experience is the church as the body of Christ. This is God's economy. And I really appreciate all the hymns written by Watchman Nee and Witness Lee were written in this way to bring us all into the reality of God's economy.
Well, Bob, these CDs are available if our listeners would like to contact us. In each of these, in the jacket, as you pull it out, are the words to all of these hymns so you can sing along and enjoy these riches along with the CD that you're listening to. So a great opportunity. We hope you'll be interested in this. Bob, thank you for being with us today. I think you were the right one. You've been involved in the production of these hymns, and I know your love of these hymns is tremendous, and it came through very well. Thank you.
This is a delight for me to be in this broadcast.
And for Bob Danker today, I'm Chris Wilde. Thank you all for listening.